Good morning. If you're able, please remain standing for the reading of God's Word. This week, we're continuing on our sermon series on Greater Than. So we're going to be reading from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 16 to 22. If you're using the Bible under the chair in front of you, that can be found on page 658. If you don't own a Bible, take that with you as our gift to you. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 16 through 22. Moreover, I saw that under the sun and in the place of justice, even there was wickedness. And in the place of righteousness, even there was wickedness. And I said in my heart, God, will you judge the righteous and the wicked? For there's a time for every matter and for every work. And I said in my heart with regard to the children of man that God is testing them that they may see that they themselves are but beasts. For what happens to the children of man and what happens to the beast is the same. As one dies, so dies the other. They all have the same breath, and man has no advantage over the beast, for all is vanity. All go to one place, all are from dust, and to dust all return. Who knows whether the spirit of man goes upward and the spirit of the beast goes down into the earth? So I saw that there was nothing better than that a man should rejoice in his work, for that is his lot. Who can bring him to see what will be after him? And that concludes the reading of God's word, and God's people say, please be seated. My name is DeWitt Moffitt. It is my great joy and pleasure again to welcome you to Mill Creek Community Church. If you're new or visiting, we'd like to encourage you to stop by the Welcome Center at the Sanctuary Foyer. If you have any questions, we'll be able to answer those for you. Plus, we also have a gift for you. Also, if you're watching us live on Facebook, we're glad that you've chosen to join us. If you are looking for ways to connect and grow in your faith with Christ, there's a welcome card. You can actually do that with this or fill it out online. And our worship guide on the back page, you'll see there's lots of information for you. If you have small children, we're glad that you joined us today. We actually have a room in the back where you can bring your children, or a community room that you can go in the back. Okay, next, June 5th, we are going to be going back outside again. So we're pretty excited about that. I have to admit, in all the years I've been following Christ, there has never been an experience like being able to worship the Lord under the sun. So we are actually looking for people that would like to help us set up. If you're looking for an opportunity to serve, please mark that on your welcome card. Remember, if you have any questions or prayer requests, you can put that on there. Okay, and thank you again. In this time of transition, it has been incredibly challenging. God has been faithful, and so have you. We thank you so much for all the encouragement and how you prayed for us. We're continuing in our prayer. I think this is day 15. So we're going to ask for prayer and guidance. Again, thank you for your prayers and support. We don't know much, but what we do know is our God is faithful. He's brought us this far, and he will bring us a pastor. Please keep praying. Join me in prayer, please. Precious Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you for Mill Creek Community Church. For many of us, Lord, it's been an answer to prayer. You've grown us up in our faith. Lord, you've restored marriages. You've encouraged the widows. Lord, continue the good work you've started in us And Lord, we will be careful to give you all the praise, honor, and glory, and all of God's people say,
amen. Good morning. Thanks, DeWitt. So we're going to continue our series in Ecclesiastes. Everybody's doing all right? Everybody's good? Awake? Sun's still shining, all right? So here, a little confession, okay? So I'm that guy who for the last 2 days has been hoping that it would rain a little bit to knock down the pollen so that my kid would not be suffering. So who has allergies? Who's dying right now from allergies? All right, Jack would be raising his hand right now. And so it's a struggle going on. And I have been hoping for rain. Yesterday, it didn't rain as much as I wanted it to rain. So I'm sorry, all right, that I was hoping for rain. But it's true, I was hoping for rain. So, but looking into Ecclesiastes and thinking about what we're doing, the direction we're heading, we go back to the very first chapter. And again, we see that Solomon starts this book, this speech about life under the sun by saying, vanity of vanity, says the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What does a man gain by all the toil at which he toils under the sun? He says, everything under the sun, apart from God, that it is all vanity. That it's all chasing the wind, trying to catch the wind. This pursuit that is unfindable, unexperienceable here under the sun, apart from God. So we've looked at things over the last several weeks. We looked at time, that there's no way to stop time. We looked at the pursuit of pleasure, prominence, going through this life, looking for satisfaction, looking for something greater than in this life apart from God. And so this morning, as we look at the passage that DeWitt just read for us, 3:16, and we're actually going to rock over into chapter 4 through verse 3, we are looking at injustice, okay? So I titled it Injustice for All. I thought that was catchy. It's kind of catchy, right? Yeah, Gil appreciated it. Yeah. So as I was thinking about, because none of us are untouched by injustice. So I don't know about you guys, but oftentimes I'm that guy who I think I know what things mean, you know? But if I were to ask for a definition of injustice, what would it be? So I'm that guy. I want to be very clear about what I'm saying, what we're talking about during this time. So injustice, I looked it up. It says that it is the absence of justice, the violation of right or the rights of another, an act that inflicts undeserved hurt. So I hate when definitions use the word that I'm trying to define, all right? So the absence of justice. Okay, so let's take it another level. What is justice? Justice is the maintenance or administration of what is just, especially by the impartial judgment of conflicting claims or the assignment of merited rewards or punishment. All right, so there we have another thing. What is just then? Take it another level, and it says acting or being in conformity with what is morally good or upright. So this injustice that touches us all, this an act that inflicts undeserved hurt, the absence of justice, where does this come from? So we could sum up this whole idea, this whole concept with the definition of just, and it says, being in conformity with what is morally good and upright. So where do we get morals from? Where does what is good come from? And I've heard apologists say that if there is bad, then there has to be good. If there is law, there has to be a lawgiver. And so this concept that even when we're looking for justice or even when we're experiencing injustice in our lives, it's always pointing back to God. And so this is a hot button topic in our society today. It was millennia ago with Solomon. Injustice, things just being morally corrupt. And a lot of the world, a lot of people that we come in contact with, you look at the different generations and the different injustices that they have held on to and grabbed and focused on. And we need to do this because of blank. And my thesis today is that apart from God, there is no justice. And so this pursuit of overcoming, this pursuit of what do I do when I see injustice around me? How should we respond when we experience injustice or when we see it played out in the world around us? Clearly it matters. It made it into God's word. He has given us a description of what it is. So as I was thinking about my introduction, and I was thinking about several different stories that really are concrete injustices in life, I was thinking about several different things. So most of you, some of you, many, whatever the word might be, know that I work over at the Erie City Mission. So I work with a segment of men that have struggled with drug and alcohol addictions, and then everything that comes along with that. Okay, so we had a graduation last week. It was kind of the culmination of all of this work that these guys did in order to graduate this program. All right, it's 9 months long. So one of the graduates, he put in 9 months of work, Bible study, working steps, talking to a sponsor, really seeking to do God's will. For real study, one of the sweeter guys in the program, if I could say that. And so it was the Monday before graduation, and we got a phone call from the state police. And it said, hey, can you come down for an arraignment? Because we've decided to pursue these charges. And I watched him in my office as he was all excited about graduation. He was excited about everything that he accomplished, the promise of the future, to be dashed here with this thought. So I accompanied him down to court. We go in, we're talking the whole way down, and he says, I'm innocent. I didn't do this. I swear I did not do this. So, you know, jail's full of innocent people, right? So you're like, okay. And so we go in, we look at the papers, we look at the charges, and he's facing, like, significant time. And he sits there in front of the judge, and he reads the charges. And he just struggles with this idea. We come out, we look at the paperwork, he says to me, I'm going to be okay because all of this is made up. And so there were facts, there were witnesses, there were things that he understood and could put together that he has been falsely accused by somebody who promised to get him. But this weight that he has hanging over him as he launches into life is almost unimaginable for me, because he still has to go through the process, and we do not know the outcome. So what do we do with that? What does he do with that? How do we keep moving in life when we experience and see these injustices? Solomon gets into it here in verse 16. So if you have your Bibles, Ecclesiastes 3:16, we see injustice exposed. As Solomon continues his observations about life under the sun. He turns his attention to the injustices he was seeing in the world around him. Verse 16 says, "Moreover, I saw under the sun that in the place of justice, even there was wickedness. And in the place of righteousness, even there was wickedness." So Solomon saw two areas where injustice was occurring regularly. It's interesting. So we think that if we elect the right people, if they appoint the right courts, that all injustices will go away. Regardless of where we stand politically, that's what many people believe. So Solomon says, in the place of justice, in the place of justice, that is the court system. Even there was wickedness. And in the place of righteousness, that's the political system. Even there was wickedness. What is wickedness? In both these systems and settings, Solomon described what he saw as wickedness. Wickedness is absolute violence or crime against civil law. Just doing whatever they want to do. Did not matter. Solomon saw it. He said that even there was wickedness. I thought it was interesting that our best effort to govern ourselves, all right? So you look at our country, and I am 100% blue-blooded American, proud of my country, patriotic. I wish I served in the military. I wish I would have done more in those areas. Fact. All right? My brother-in-law served in the military, and I think they're heroes. But even our best efforts to govern ourselves apart from God is absolutely broken. When we leave God out, no matter what we do to set up for ourselves a way to live, laws to follow, good people to govern and rule and make decisions, it is all futile. It is all vanity apart from God. So injustice has been around for millennia, and even Solomon cannot come up with a solution for it. So he exposes it and looks for some comfort in the middle of it. So this is the launching pad for this whole thought today, that everywhere he looks, he sees injustice. Where, at the very top where we are supposed to have a governance in order and direction, he says, even there, we have injustice. Several things that Solomon looked to find comfort for himself. In verse 17, it says, "I said in my heart, God will judge the righteous and the wicked, for there is a time for every matter and for every work." I said in my heart, God will judge the righteous and the wicked. First thing, God sees the injustice. Everything that happens to us, to another person, that is unfair, that is unjust, that is harsh, all of the definitions that we looked at, God sees that. Solomon took comfort in the guarantee of God's righteous judgment. And so as we think about this and all of the things we want to fix, whatever it is for you, whatever is that injustice that kind of hits close to your home, that hits close to your heart. So for me, a lot of times it is the different things that guys experience in addiction. Another thing for myself, for my wife, for my family, is the foster care system and just the brokenness that you see across the board in that. It's inescapable. People mean to do well, protect children, do their very best, but in the middle of that, there's so much brokenness. And so to know that God is going to judge one day, honestly, it's little comfort when it's right in your face and you see it. and you see the brokenness and you see the hurt. But when we see injustice around us or experience it personally, we need to remember that God sees everything. He sees everything. He sees from motive to action, and one day he will judge accordingly. So we're going to jump into a little bit looking at what is this judgment, all right? So I think sometimes as believers, we can live in this guilt and shame and this struggle that we experience from our sin. I'm under no illusion that everybody has it all together, okay? So whatever it is that you are stuck in or that you are dealing with, this doubt, this fear, this insecurity, anxiety, depression, whatever it is that you're dealing with, I don't judge you. God doesn't judge you. We use that word judge. In Romans, Paul tells us that there is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ. I think that's one of the most beautiful promises in the Bible, that there is no condemnation. Those of us who have put our full trust, rested our full weight on the finished work of the cross, that God became man, that he lived a perfect, sinless life, that he died on the cross three days later, he rose from the dead, and if we put our trust in that, the Bible says that we will be saved, and there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. But there is judgment, and there are two different types of judgment. In 1 Corinthians 4:5, Paul says, "Therefore, do not pronounce judgment before the time, before the Lord comes, who will bring to light the things now hidden in the darkness and will disclose the purposes of the heart. Then each will receive his commendation from God." So this is talking about the rewards that we are going to get. All right? This is a convicting reality for me. I can come up here and preach and do good, but if my heart, if my motives, if my reasons are not correct for this, there is no reward. Those things that we do that we know are good, if our motives are wrong, if our reasoning is wrong, there is no reward. So it is convicting. I challenge myself all of the time. The heart is deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? So before I judge somebody else, I have to take an honest look at myself and say, why are you doing what you are doing? Why are you pursuing these things? Jesus himself spoke of judgment. So there's a judgment of the believers to rewards. There's a judgment that Jesus spoke of. It says, "And he has given him authority to execute judgment. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment." So two distinct judgments that we see in the Bible. So we know most of us know these, the great white throne judgment for unbelievers. It determines the degree of suffering. Again, I was talking to somebody about this. I, in my brokenness, just being as transparent as possible, like these realities. I like that God says, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay." And so those things that we see around us that just burn us up, there are those things. When I see little kids, something done with little kids, it burns me up. And I like to quote, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay." Because I'm just broken. I'm just a person, all right? I like that. But there is going to be a judgment to determine the degree of suffering. Romans 2:6, it says, "He will render to each one according to his works." We are going to be judged. Unbelievers are going to be judged according to their works. The judgment seat of Christ we have for believers only, and rewards given or withheld. I think this is something, again, I just touched on it, that to be careful about our motives, to be careful about why we are doing the things we are doing, because there will be rewards received and withheld. Truly, I love the opportunity to get up and open God's word. It's one of my favorite things in the world. It's just a joy to let you guys know what I have seen or discovered in God's word, and then as we seek to together as a church apply those to our lives. But I could do it. I could do it in bad motives. I hope we all understand that. That it really does matter why we do things. And so I sit and pray before I come up, and I say, God, I just want you to be pleased. I just want to make much of you, because I know how broken I am. We each should be intimately and acutely aware of our sins, and how the most dialed in day, it doesn't take a lot to derail us. It's just a fact. So there will be rewards given or withheld. 1 Corinthians 3:13 through 15. Each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Let's run that back real quick, all right? No condemnation, no furrowed brow, no pointing finger, no accusations, no shame, no guilt. Christ took it all on the cross. But don't get ahead of yourselves on why we are doing the things we're doing. Stay humble, stay focused, stay surrendered, stay trusting that the only way we do anything well is through Christ. And also, in these moments when we see injustice in the world, and we see suffering, and we see pain, and there's nothing we can do about it. Solomon, there was nothing he could do about it, but he could see it. And he had to say, I know, in verse 17, he said, I said in my heart, God will judge the righteous and the wicked. And so he took solace in that, the fact that everything that's going on around us, God sees it, and God is going to judge it. So Solomon, here he exposes the injustice, understands that God sees it, and God allows men to prove their own injustice by their actions. In verse 18, God proves the injustice in man. It says, I said in my heart, with regard to the children of man. So again, he's talking to himself here, still seeking to find answers, seeking to find and discover what do I do? What can I do with the injustices around me? He says, I said in my heart, with regard to the children of man, that God is testing them, that they, men, may see that they themselves are but beasts. This word testing, it's proving. Refining. He is showing men through their injustices that they are but beasts. Sometimes in our world, the floor falls out. Sometimes in our world, we make poor decisions and choices, get involved in relationships that are unhealthy. Whatever it is, we experience this tragedy, and we say, okay, now what do I have to do to change? What do I have to do to experience freedom in this? Until we take an honest look at ourselves, until we look at our own state and see how broken we are, change is not possible. One of the big questions people ask themselves, should ask themselves in recovery is, what role did you play in that? I think it's a great question for all of us. All relational struggles, struggles at work, struggles with our own selves. What role did you play in that? Change in behavior is not possible apart from self-awareness. When we are singularly focused on pointing out everything that everybody else is doing, it is impossible to change. It is impossible to grow. We have to bring it back to ourselves and say, what role did I play in this? Only when we see our sin the way God sees our sin, and when we become aware of our own depravity, do we truly open the door for change. So God proves, God tests, God shows around us and in ourselves that we are depraved. That God is proving that we are but beasts. As I was reading through this, I was studying through it, I feel like Solomon starts ramping up here a little bit. Okay, so whatever this injustice was that he saw, there must have been something that kind of popped out in his mind. Again, whatever his specific thing was. Like I said, anytime kids are hurt, it burns me up. That's my thing. I get fired up, all right? I get fired up quick. So something happened that Solomon got fired up. And here he starts saying that men are beasts. And he lingers on this point for a little bit. So secondly, in verse 19 through 22, we see that injustice is emphasized. He goes in on it. It says, for what happens to the children of man and what happens to the beast is the same. As one dies, so dies the other. They all have the same breath, and man has no advantage over the beast, for all is vanity. Solomon is nailing down that men, apart from God, apart from the recognition and bringing God into our lives, that we are but beasts. He says that when injustice rules, man has no advantage or superiority over beasts. Apart from God and his will, all is futile. Verse 20, he goes on and he says, all go to the same place. All are from dust, and to dust all return. Death is the great equalizer. This is what Solomon says. He says, all of this injustice, this acting like animals, these beasts, that death is the great equalizer. And we need to focus our attention on eternity. Again, what do we do when we see injustice around us? That's where we're headed. All right, that's where we're headed. What do we do when we see it? Solomon is in the middle of emphasizing this, calling men beasts, saying that from the same place they go, dust to dust when they die. We can literally see Solomon wrestling with what he sees, because he continues to descend into negative thinking about it. Verse 21, he goes on and he says, who knows whether the spirit of man goes upward and the spirit of beast goes down into the earth? Solomon cries, death, even death we can't understand. It's totally an unexplainable mystery. How does it work? I've never experienced it and I can't comprehend it. What happens? What happens when we die? So again, Solomon is descended. He's frustrated with what he sees. And he's looking for an advantage that man has over beasts. And he says, I can't even explain to you why in death we have an advantage. I've never done it. I don't know. This is Solomon writing in the Old Testament, struggling with injustices around him, saying, it is a mystery. What happens when we die? It's an interesting thing. Not to get too whatever, but to watch somebody die. To watch a believer die and see some fear because you are about to go from the seen to the unseen. And our faith is great. And I believe that to be absent from the body is present with the Lord. But it gets tricky. It gets tricky at those last moments. And Solomon saying, I can't even understand it. I don't understand anything. All of this injustice, all of this hurt, all of this pain, why are we doing it? We're all but beasts. Death, I can't understand it. It is all ununderstandable. What is the point? So Solomon's like, all right. All right, he takes a deep breath. And in verse 22, he comes back into focus a little bit. He says, in case you missed it, there's injustice going on around us. Whole long tirade about it. And in verse 22, he says, so I saw that there is nothing better than that a man should rejoice in his work, for that is his lot. Who can bring him to see what will be after him? So he goes from talking about death, not being able to understand it, to bringing it back to reality. It's hard when we suffer struggle or loss or difficult times to refocus and bring ourselves back. Sometimes we just exist in that sadness. But here Solomon brings himself back and he indicates to the listeners two principles to live by. And I think this is super important for us. Number one, enjoy what you do. In Colossians 3, 23 and 24, it says, whatever you do, work heartily, as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. Galatians 6, 9 says, and let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So first thing Solomon says, he says, rejoice in your work. Enjoy what you do, whatever it is. Whatever your task is, whatever your duties are, enjoy them. Secondly, he says, to live in the moment, what will be after him. Matthew 6, 34 says, therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Do you not know what tomorrow will, or you do not know what tomorrow will bring? What is your life? You are but a mist that appears for a little time, then vanishes away. James 4, 14 and Proverbs 21 or 27, 1 says, do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring. So two things that Solomon says here in verse 22, after exposing this injustice, after making a big giant deal about it, after losing his thought process, he says, enjoy what you do and live in today, live in the moment. So we cannot live in the moment enjoying life without bringing God into it. We cannot live in the moment enjoying life without bringing God into it. Maybe for a season, but not for a lifetime. So now flip over to chapter 4, okay? So it feels like Solomon kind of wrapped it up, right? All right, so all of that injustice, this is what we do with it. Enjoy your work, enjoy what you do, and stay present in your relationships, in your tasks, and all of that. We jump over to chapter 4, and he says, Again I saw all the oppressions that are done under the sun. And behold the tears of the oppressed, and they had no one to comfort them. On the side of the oppressors was power, and there was no one to comfort them. Those who are wrecked, ruined, broken, there's no comfort. This was a reoccurring problem in society. Every time Solomon looked for injustice, he could find it. This phrase, I think, steps into our worlds. Those of us who are hurt big, whether in justice or not, we can kind of put ourselves in this position. And they had no one to comfort them. In and of themselves, they could not find comfort. No matter what anyone did for them, no matter how many hugs, no matter how many kind words, no matter how many letters they received, they were comfortless. Have you ever been there? Shattered. And there's nothing anyone can do for you. Maybe you're there. And what do we do in that situation? Again, what do we do with the injustices that we see around us? I take it to the broken. What do we do with that brokenness, that inconsolable realities that some of us experience? What do we do with that? Here Solomon goes on and he nails on this a little bit in verses 2 and 3. And I thought the dead who were already dead more fortunate than the living who are still alive. But better than both is he who has not yet been born. I'm sorry, who has not yet been and has not seen the evil deeds that are done under the sun. Solomon says the only way to escape injustice is to not exist. Okay, so there it is. There is the injustice, there is the hurt, there is the difficulty. So what do we do with it? John 16:33, Jesus said, I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. That you may have peace. I was talking to Brittany the other day, and I said, I think one of the greatest desires in my life right now is just peace. The peace of God and the peace with God. Everything else is doable at that point if I experience peace. Again, it changes depending on the season we're in. There was a season where all I wanted was God to take control of situations because we were attempting to adopt my babies out of foster care. But right now, I just want peace. And so, deep down in all of us, if we can exist and find peace in the things that we do, in the struggles that we have, in the injustices we see around us, then we can keep moving and we can keep pursuing this. Peace in tribulation and injustice is possible because Jesus is greater than injustice. And real quick, we see injustice endured. And this is not in Ecclesiastes. But as I was looking, I got stuck on this idea of comfort. This the oppressed were unable to be comforted. There was no comfort for them. And so I thought, okay, so this word comfort, all right, what is comfort? To be consoled by another. So how do we experience that? Where do we get that? And what do we do with it when we find it? So injustice endured in 2 Corinthians 1, 3, and 4. 2 Corinthians is all about being comforted. He starts the letter with it. He ends the letter with it. Paul. So 2 Corinthians 1, 3, and 4, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in our affliction so that we may be able to comfort those who are in affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. That is what we do with injustice. That is what we do with afflictions in our lives. This pressing together, this pressure, oppression, tribulation, and distress. Those things that we experience in our lives that we are able to get on the other side of, we find people who are going through those struggles and we say, hey, let me tell you how I did it. I trusted God. I surrendered to his timing. And I am now on the other side of it. It still hurts. There was a moment when there was nothing anyone could do to console me. So I understand that that's where you're at. But I love you. God loves you. And I'm praying for you. And sometimes even that's not going to give them comfort. But wait and let God do his work. It's one of my favorite Bible verses. Comfort others with the comfort that you've been comforted with. I love that. It's a reality across the board. My pastor back home, where I came up from, he used to say it this way. He would say, take every disadvantage and turn it into an advantage. There are things in your life that you went through that you didn't think you were going to get through. And now you are uniquely qualified to comfort somebody else going through that thing. And that's a God thing. Again, in recovery, they say the therapeutic value of one addict helping another is without parallel. Somebody who has gone through the thing that you are going through and made it through and seems to be doing well, finding peace, finding purpose. That's what we want to know, that it's a real thing, that it's a doable thing. Paul finishes this book to the Corinthians in chapter 13, verse 11. It says, finally, brothers, rejoice. Aim for restoration. Here's our goal. Here's our goal when we see injustices. What should we do with the injustice that's going to hit all of us? Across the board, we're going to see it and we're going to experience. What do? Aim for restoration. Comfort one another. Agree with one another. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. There is no greater comfort in this world than knowing that you are right in the middle of God's will. And no matter what rocky, difficult, challenging thing that you are walking through right now, that God is with you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. You don't have to do it alone. Bring me into it and watch what I can do. This is the formula to find satisfaction in a world full of injustice. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we're just so thankful for the practical realities that we see in your word. God, I pray for our people, those who are dealing with hurt and pain and they can't find comfort. God, I pray that you fill them with your spirit. God, that you send another into their lives to walk beside them in this time. God, we know that you are working all things together for good to those of us who love you, even when we can't see it and even when we can't feel it. We trust, we surrender, and we obey, because in you is life and we want it more abundantly. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's all stand together and let's sing this last song.
You give life, you are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. And great are you, Lord. It's your breath. It's your breath in our lungs. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. Pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you. Oh, it's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. Pour out our praise. It's your breath. Will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing.
So great. You're so just. God, thank you for that message. We pray that that word would be hidden in our hearts. And God, we worship you. Thank you for being just. And God, thank you that that justice is perfect. And that you're so just, you required a payment for our sin, and that Jesus stepped in for that. We are undeserving of it. We can't do anything to earn it. Not in the past, not now, not ever. But we thank you, Jesus, that you stood in the gap and then you paid that price for us. We worship you. I pray you bless this day and bless this week ahead. It's your name we pray. Everyone said, amen. You guys are a sent people, so go and make disciples. You're dismissed.